The opening kickoff. Here are Mark and Lee.
All right, another week of the opening kickoff is upon us. I hope you and yours had a happy and safe extended weekend. We're back. Mark, I'm Lee Shervanian in the studios of WNSP, located right there on Government and Don't Go Out There Street. Did I say Government? That shows how long I've gone. It's Dolphin and Don't Go Out There Street. Phone lines are open, as always, at 694-1055. And, of course, you can get us in the app at WNSP.com. Mr. Shervanian, we have a lot to get to. As always, good morning. I did not get to the beach. We're going to probably go next week, to be honest with you. But you know me long enough to know if everybody's going east, I'm either going to go west or I'm not going anywhere at all. So.
Well, thank you, because that's where I went, west.
Oh, congratulations.
First time ever. People, I was just talking to you off the air. I won't get into names, but somebody you know very well. We teamed up with them, and first time ever I have ever been to Ocean Springs. Have you ever been there? I'm talking about the town, the town of Ocean Springs. And, you know, they were telling me it's very much like Fairhope with all the quaint shops and things like that. And it is. I mean, it was a really nice trip. Weather was great. I was a little surprised, though, walking as we did, and, you know, eventually we ate at one of the local establishments. Hardly anybody, if anybody, was wearing a mask. It was almost as if it didn't exist, the COVID-19. I was really surprised. Now, I had my mask. I was the only one of the four in our party that had one. And when we walked into the restaurant, we actually ate outside, but when I had to go into the restaurant, I wore my mask. And the only waitresses and waiters were the only ones wearing a mask. I was a little surprised at that. It was almost like, you know, nobody cared.
Well, if you're going in to eat, I mean, are you just going to wear the mask until you get your food?
Me?
No, you're saying that nobody was wearing a
mask. Nobody was wearing a mask outside the premises.
Why would you wear a mask if you're going to a restaurant? Because you got to take the mask off to eat.
I wore it going inside.
I understand you
but
did.
Not
but
us, yeah.
Other people, nobody other than the staff is going to
wear
a mask.
You know, I'm not sure they're that effective. I think it gives others more a sense that they're not going to catch anything because, you know, the mouth is being covered up. So, I don't know. I don't know what's right and what's wrong in this situation.
Alyssa Milano took some heat over the weekend for her mask. It was one of those crocheted things with a bunch of holes in it. And she was like, she posted on Twitter and Instagram. She was like, hey, everybody, let me see your mask. And she just got absolutely ripped.
You know what it reminds me of? Back in the day of the National Hockey League, when goalies started wearing masks, because in the beginning when I followed it, they didn't. Their face would be stitched up and they'd be bleeding and all that kind of stuff. So they started wearing masks and they tried to outdo each other with different forms of masks.
I know this is bad radio, people, but I'm showing him a picture of Alyssa Milano's mask.
So what's wrong? That's fine. I mean,
it's got a bunch of holes in it.
Well, whatever.
Aye.
No problem. Okay.
I don't care where you stand on masks. Whether you wear them or not is up to you, but don't wear them. Don't wear them and claim you're being safe and you got big, gigantic holes in it.
This thing on the beach, do people wear them on the beach? I guess not, right? If you go to the beach, you're not going to wear
them. Ghost Rider.
I didn't think so.
You'd see some funky tan lines.
All right. Some headlines. Well, as far as live action, auto racing dominating, Kyle Busch when the Xfinity yesterday, the Coca-Cola was won by Keselowski. They disqualified Jimmy Johnson, Denny Hamlin's crew, three of them suspended. Over the weekend, two college Hall of Fame coaches both passed away. Jerry Sloan, the longtime coach of Utah, and of course, you saw him in The Last Dance. Twice he took the Jazz to the NBA Finals, both times losing to the Bulls. And he was actually a member of the first Bulls team ever, the expansion team, taken in the draft. He was a really good player, very, very, very underrated player because he was more defense than offense. But he was inducted in 2009. And then Eddie Sutton, four teams he took to the NCAA tournament, passed away over the weekend. He had coached at Creighton, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Oklahoma State. The SEC had the announcement we expected on Friday, Mark, with the lifting of the on-campus voluntary conditioning, which will start up on June 8th. So any SEC program that wants to bring players back for conditioning, strength conditioning. They can start June 8th, and that would involve men's football, men's and women's basketball, but still no organized practices or anything like that. But the story about Cam Newton's brother coming to Auburn, Kalen. Now, Cam? 6'6", 6'5", something like that? Now, Kalen's only 6 foot. He was, though, going into last season at Howard, he was voted the conference preseason player of the year. He left in October to transfer. He'll be immediately eligible to compete for the Auburn quarterback position. But let's face it, if and when they start, Bo Nix will be the starter. So we'll see what happens there. There's an interesting transfer in the state of Mississippi. The defensive back, and we told you about Jerrion Jones wanting to transfer. He entered the portal. He's going to Ole Miss. It's going to add fuel to the fire for the Egg Bowl. Sunday at a restaurant in Florida, Andre Drummond, the center for Cleveland, left a $1,000 tip for a bill that was $164 at a restaurant in Florida. So there's that. We had the much-publicized golf match. Did you get a chance to see much of that?
I actually watched most, if not all of it, actually. And I'm not that guy. I don't sit there on Sundays and watch golf. For a lot of the reasons I got exposed during that event, and it's not what you think, because of the access, because of the back and forth, that's what kept me involved. And then the golf, the fact that it got competitive late actually added to it. But give me those four playing golf every day, and I'd watch it every day. It was fantastic.
I have to admit to you, since I was traveling and we were doing the Sunday drive to Ocean Springs, that I didn't get a chance. Now, the restaurant we were at, they had it on the TV, but we were outside. I'd come
it
in every
great.
Now and then. But, you know, to enjoy that, you'd have to have the sound up because
the golfing,
who cared about the golf?
The golfing itself wasn't bad. It was actually pretty good. Brady started off really poorly, actually. Peyton actually played really well. His iron game was really good. And then late, Tom Brady started picking it up a little bit. Both Phil and Tiger were as good as you would expect them to be. But what really made this event so much fun was the back and forth, the conversation. Charles Barkley was one of the analysts. You missed it, but right before that, I think one of the first par threes, three of them stuck it on the green, actually. Peyton hit a nice one. And then before Brady got up there, Barkley was like, all right, because they could hear him. And so he said, hey, Tom, I'll donate $25,000 to the cause if you hit the green. And then he goes, you know what? Make it 50. And he's like, Chuck, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. So Brady gets up there, hits it, shanks it right, misses the whole damn green. I mean, it was great. Peyton and had some fun with Kirby Smart and Charles Barkley started talking about Alabama and wearing red. I mean, the whole thing was just really well done. Brady stuck one from his approach shot, went in right after Barkley was talking smack. I mean, it goes on and on. It was a great made-for-TV event, and it's going to be incredibly difficult to top.
My favorite story over the weekend involved Pat Riley. Jason Hare, the director of The Last Dance, revealed one of the many, many stories that he uncovered that did not make it to The Last Dance. And as you know, The Last Dance, is they started it up again on ABC on Saturday. Not that I watched it, because I've already seen plenty of it. But this involved a vacation that Pat Riley took in Hawaii, I guess back in either 92 or 93. And he was staying at the presidential suite at this hotel. And he had, like, you know, the big room, you know, the presidential suite. So Riley, now again, I don't know all the timeline to this, but Riley was told that he had to vacate the presidential. They apologized to him and said, look, we're very sorry, but we have somebody else that for whatever reasons, and I don't know how a hotel can get away with this, but for whatever reasons, they said, you have to give up the presidential suite. We're basically throwing you out, but we're going to give it to somebody else, but we're going to give you a bunch of free rooms, nice rooms, something like that. So Riley was, I guess, at poolside, and he had moved his stuff out. His family, I guess, was there, and they moved it out. And on top, on the balcony of the presidential suite was Michael Jordan waving to Pat Riley.
Oh, that's terrible.
Riley had lost the presidential suite. Not only did his Knicks lose to the Bulls, but the hotel management vacated Riley so that Michael Jordan could get the presidential suite. You can't make that stuff up. That is unbelievable. I can imagine how upset he probably was, especially seeing Jordan waving to him high atop after his Knicks teams got beat by the Bulls.
All right, it's 6:16, so we're just getting started. Here's what we'll do. We'll do a scoreboard, traffic, and weather. Steve Campbell's going to join us in hour number one. We'll come back, set the table for the rest of the day. And, of course, you guys will give us a chance. One, did you see the match? You guys can call up, give us your take on the match, good, bad, or otherwise. And did you watch Lance? Because I watched the match, didn't watch Lance. Lee didn't watch the match, but did watch Lance. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on either or both when we return. Right here on a Tuesday edition, it's the opening kickoff right here on the sports station WNSP.
This is Judge Jack Schultz, and you're listening to Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
We might not have been the fastest car today, but wow, did we just grind this one out, Jamie, and... The pit crew at the end, the stop or the yellow right before the last, just had a blazing stop to get us up front and put us in position. And all these things just came together. And I'm tickled to death. And it's a little overwhelming, to be honest.
All right, 6:23 on this Tuesday morning. The opening kickoff is here. That's Lee. I'm Mark. Steve Campbell, the South Alabama football coach, will join us at 6:35-ish. Travis Ryer at the top of the hour. Taylor Zarzer set to join us at 7:30. We'll talk some Auburn with Brian Matthews at 8:05. The Miller Lite Golf Report with John Ricchetti at 8:20. And Orlando Alzagari at 8:35. You just heard the voice of Brad Keselowski.
Winning on Sunday night, they called it the longest NASCAR race. Jimmy Johnson was his long winless streak, came in second, and then was disqualified, and then some members of Denny Hamlin's crew also disqualified. Something to the effect that a piece of the vehicle fell off the vehicle during the race, so they're suspended until June 10th. So, yeah, you mentioned about the match play on Sunday, and that's something I talked to Taylor Zarzer about because, you know, he's very much involved in golf. He's on the Sirius Golf Channel, and I didn't get a chance to see it because we were traveling, but I did get to watch Lance Armstrong's documentary. And obviously, on top of the Last Dance, you know, you're hoping for that kind of appeal to me, but it just didn't hit it. And I guess, and this is not so much against Lance Armstrong, it's just that, you know, I wanted to watch him from a personality standpoint. I really wasn't too interested in the bicycle competition. It's not a major sport. And not to take away from what he did. I mean, what, did he win that Tour de France like 7 times and all?
Yeah.
But, you know, he didn't hold back on the doping, on the drugs and things like that. In many respects, Mark, I found him to be very much like Michael Jordan, driven, didn't worry about other people, you know, just get out of my way and I want to win. So maybe there's something to that. You know, he wasn't worried about popularity or anything like that. He was just so driven to be the best at what he was doing. He didn't grow up, according to the documentary and what is by his own admission, he didn't grow up being a good athlete at all. And I guess in his early teens, he took to doing triathlon, like swimming, bicycling, and so forth, and that morphed into bicycle racing. And, you know, from that standpoint, how he got involved was kind of interesting. I didn't find him very appealing as an individual, I have to say that. I don't know, it was something, I don't know what it is. Maybe because I was such a Michael Jordan fan, and maybe it's that, but I always, even during the Last Dance, I know there were moments when people got turned off by Michael Jordan and some of the things he did, but I always found him very engaging and likable. There'd be emotion, there'd be laughter, and there'd also be his grudges. But with Lance Armstrong, there was none of that as far as I saw. It was just basically straight to the vest. Very little emotion or anything. And I didn't find him as appealing. And again, maybe that's just because I followed Michael Jordan's career a lot more than I did Lance Armstrong. Look, I'm not taking away what he did. That Tour de France is as grueling as they get. And, you know, if in fact everybody dopes up, fine. You know, what do I care? Like I say, we only follow it for about a week or so.
Well, here's the part that gets me about the promo is, one, there were two things. One, they talk about how they start. First of all, it was a two-hour thing. Then they start talking about how they're going to do this deep dive into his early life. And I'm not interested in all that. I'm interested in knowing why not only did he dope, but then he lied about it for so long. And how did he conceal it? And then there's that famous quote that he had leading up to it, which is, I'm going to tell you my truth. That just sounds like he's going to try to justify to me what is unjustifiable. Don't give me excuses on why you did it. The whole thing was going to come crashing down. Well, yeah, it was a whole thing built upon lies. I mean, you lied for years. I don't understand. Is he trying to make us understand why he did it and then somehow feel some sort of compassion for him? I don't know. It just,
you know,
didn't
Mark, it
me.
Seemed to me, now again, I may have interpreted it wrong, it just seemed to me that the whole team was doing it. He admit, I mean, the parts I heard, the parts that I stayed attentive to it because it was too long, because they didn't have a lot of action. And how much action can you have, you know, with bicycling and so forth? So, and I don't mean to take away from the sport at all, but the point was that he said he started. I'm trying to remember what age he said. It was kind of at an early age with the whatever they were doing, because others were doing it. You know, I mean, he didn't deny it. I mean, that was all part of the documentary for him to finally, you know, get out there and admit what was going on. But it was almost like, you know, how, like, you know, when you're in high school, I remember this happening. You know, you'd be in a group and they're passing around the cigarette. Okay, your turn. You take away. You do this and this and this. That's what it seemed to be like with this racing team. You know, they once one started, they all started doing it.
All right. Well, you guys can jump in and give us your impressions on Lance if you saw it, and the match over the weekend. A couple of good sports stories there. I need to get into this Reggie Bush thing at some point, either today or tomorrow as well. But when we come back, we're going to turn our attention to South Alabama football. Football coach Steve Campbell is going to join us next right here on the sports station, WNSP and WNSP.com. Continue following us on Twitter as well, at 1055WNSP. Stay with us.
Daniel Hemrick right here. Look at that draft, the side draft for Kyle Busch, trying to get the top spot back. He's got it off of turn four. Here comes Kyle Busch. Career win number 97 in the Xfinity Series comes in Charlotte for Rowdy.
All right, 6:34. Welcome back in on this Tuesday morning. By the way, left lane blocked off from a wreck at I-65 southbound between Airport and Government. So here we are on this Tuesday, and things are starting to feel like they're normal again, Lee Shervanian.
You know, I called your buddy Tommy Prater. I wanted him to catch me up on what's going on in auto racing. So I asked him, I said, well, what days this week are there races? Because, you know, I figured we'd have him on once this week. He said, well, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it's like every day there's a race. You know, here in the United States, we talk about pro sports getting back, but all we hear is talk. It's just talk. The Japanese Professional Baseball League says they're going to resume on June 19th. I guess that means ESPN or ESPN2 or whatever will be televising Japanese baseball, and there'll be fans in the stands. All right, we'll put that on hold. We have a very special guest, the head football coach at the University of South Alabama, Steve Campbell, on the line with us right now. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing today?
Good. So what are you trying to do to keep busy these days?
Well, you know, I have a lot of stuff to do right now. Hopefully we're looking at getting our guys back in June, you know, with NCAA said the other day that we can start getting our guys back in June. So we're working hard and pointing towards an early June return date, hopefully, and getting the guys back going and trying to work through all the logistics of once that happens, you know, how to get them in the weight room, how many at a time, and, you know, all the things that go along with getting the guys back.
So do you have a date yet? Because let's say the SEC, we know, is June 8th. We had Joel Erdman on last week. Are you waiting to hear from the conference, or is this just a campus decision? Or when do you find out the actual date for the conditioning and voluntary workouts can begin?
Yeah, we'll find out this week. It could be as early as today. I know there's a big meeting today. And trying to get all the logistics and all of that stuff squared away. So we'll find out this week exactly when we'll be able to get them back.
Will you be able to be there with them, or is it just your strength and conditioning people?
Yeah, what the NCAA came down with last week says that the month of June is got to be voluntary workouts. So, you know, they can be overseen by the strength conditioning coach, but, you know, full-time football staff, we're not going to be allowed to be there to for the workouts, but you can still have your virtual Zoom meetings and things of that nature.
Speaking of virtual, you are on a very star-studded list for this Thursday night, the Dex Imaging 26th Annual Large Football Preview virtual presentation, and you, along with Nick Saban and Mike Leach and Gus Malzahn, could go on and on and on. What's your presentation going to be like, Steve?
Yeah, you know, the big thing I talk now, I recorded mine about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, during this coronavirus, things have been changing daily. Like you just said, the NCAA came out with a deal saying that you can get going in June, and then today hopefully we'll find out something about when we'll be able to return. So I did record that thing about 2 weeks ago, and I talked about the upcoming season and the Hancock Whitney Stadium. We're looking forward to being able to play the first home game at on campus. Hopefully we'll be able to pack that thing out. Maybe we won't have any rules mandating, how many. You've got to have 6 foot of social distancing or anything like that in the new stadium. Hopefully, when we get to open it up, we can pack it out. And that's something that we're looking forward to.
Steve Campbell's our guest here on WNSP. Assuming that you guys can get started in June and knowing it's just voluntary, do you have to attack the way in which these players get adjusted and get back into the swing of things differently than you normally would because there was no spring? Meaning, are these voluntary June workouts going to be any different? Is there any different goal than in past Junes?
You know, there's a couple of things you will have to look at. Number one, as far as the strength training aspect of it, as far as the actual weightlifting part, typically you like to go heavy in the early part of the summer and see how big and strong you can get, and then as the summer moves closer to reporting date, you don't go quite as heavy to avoid injury, but you do more speed type work, trying to peak towards that first game. Well, if you can't have a direct spotter, somebody real close to you, to especially standing right over you, say you're doing a bench press or a squat, you don't want to get real heavy because you may not be able to have spotters in your weightlifting. So you'll definitely approach it more in a way of doing more reps with lighter weight, which will probably be a good thing because, we've been getting videos of our guys throughout the past couple of months, and they've all been working hard, but each one of them have had very varying amounts of resources as far as what weights that they've been able to have with all the weight rooms being closed. Some of the guys have had real good setups, and some of the guys have been having to do a lot of body weight workouts. So, the weight workouts themselves will probably not go as heavy in the weight room just due to the fact that you won't have a spotter. We'll do a lot more speed and conditioning work early to make sure that the guys get in shape. because there is a possibility, and I think there's still some more meetings that the NCAA has to have, of course, before we start actual football practice. Typically, we would start the beginning of August. Now, with I would say more than half the country missing spring training, you know, there's discussion about possibly giving us some the extra OTA or camp work before preseason camp starts. So we may be actually hopefully having a chance to start football practice earlier. So that would mean the end of June possibly starting with practice.
Steve, as you know, lots of questions, very few answers. Let me ask you this, the talk that if the NFL starts up on time, that there's a good chance they will not have fans in the stands. Don't know that for sure. There's been a lot of talk about college football returning, but the consensus seems to be we want fans in the stands, or what's the point? What's your feeling on that? Would you rather play even if you couldn't have fans in the stands, at least at the outset?
You know, I don't know what all the alternatives are, Lee. I mean, if that means, you know, would we rather play or not play at all, then of course we'd rather play. If it means, hey, you have to kick it back 2 more weeks, 4 more weeks, 6 more weeks, then I don't know. I mean, again, that's I just know that we're going to do what they tell us to do. You know, whenever we can start practice, we're sitting on go, ready to go, and whenever they tell us to play, we're sitting on go, ready to play. I mean, they're, we're looking forward to playing whenever they allow us to do it. That's fine. That's out of my hands.
Yeah, and I think I sense some of the frustration that you and every other football coach has around the nation because you're not able to do what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it is very frustrating, and we're in unprecedented times, and we need to make sure that we're ready to roll whenever it is time to go. That's the big thing. You know, I talked to our guys about control the things we can control, and this is a situation where we need to control the things that we can control. You know, all those things that we talk about in football, you know, that you're supposed to learn, you know, by playing football. Well, now's the time that we need to apply them. And one of the things that we talk about are control the things that we can control. And, you know, I don't have any control whether they're going to let fans stand or not, so I don't need to spend any time or energy on that. We need to focus on us getting better each and every day. And you asked me what I talked about in the Larch deal, but that's a big part of what I talked about is, you know, everybody talks about the economic impact of football, which is important. We need football for that. But we need football for football's sake. The guys that play football, you know, well, I learned a tremendous amount of lessons, life lessons, by playing and practicing football growing up. And the guys that I played with did. And whole generations of people learned how to overcome adversity and toughness and mental toughness, all those things that you learn from playing and practicing football, you know, we need those things. As you know, yes, we need the economic impact of football, but there are a generation of young men need all of the camaraderie and teamwork and all of the things that come with playing a team sport like football. That And then football teaches some things that you can't learn virtually in a classroom. And we need football for those purposes as well.
Hey, on the lighter side, in your travels, and I'm sure you've left the house on occasion, did you wear a mask?
I haven't worn one yet. I haven't had haven't been in a situation where I've needed one yet.
I was just curious if you did, if it was a homemade or something you bought or
we made one with a t-shirt, and you know, so we've got one whenever we get in a situation. You know, right now Lee, we haven't been in a situation where we've been around large crowds or really haven't been to the store that much. So we've been in good shape.
Coach, as always, man, it's good to catch up with you. We will continue to follow you on Twitter at @USA_HC Campbell. Have a great week. Hope you guys get on the field soon.
All right. Thank you. Y'all take care.
Yep.
We will talk more later in the week, Mark, about the Dex Imaging Large Football Preview. We'll have Mr. O'Malley coming on Wednesday to tell people how they can keep in tune with this and join it virtually.
Guys, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about – we've been talking about the match and Lance over the weekend, but curious, we were talking kind of off the air about Armstrong. Some of the greatest falls in sports history by athletes. Obviously, Lance is right up there. We're going to come up with some athletes and want you to join us. The biggest falls from grace in the sporting world. It's 6:47 here on a Tuesday edition. It's the opening kickoff. We're going to wrap up hour number one next, right here on the sports station, WNSP.
Hi, this is Bo Mattingly, co-producer of Training Days, Rolling with the Tide. If you're listening to WNSP 105.5 Mobile.
I know my friends at Major League Baseball are going to play. I know that Hockey League is going to play. So I think the pro football and the college football, they have to sit back and see how it goes for us. As far, number one, I don't think there's any chance we're going to have fans in the next 2 to 3 months. I think there's zero chance of that.
All right, Chuck Barr. It's Charles Barkley doing his thing. It's 6:52. We're wrapping up hour number one on this Tuesday. Hope you and yours had a happy and safe weekend.
Mark, I think I want to get back to this Lance Armstrong deal. Like I said, I sat through the 2 hours. I'd like to have an hour back at least. But nevertheless, when Lance Armstrong was coming through the ranks, I, like thousands and millions, thought this guy was fabulous. I mean, he overcame cancer to reach the top of his sport. I think any time, whether you like him as a personality or not, the fact that what he overcame, testicular cancer, and then won, what, 7 Tour de France's?
Yep.
And after that, it was all downhill with the doping or whatever. And he made it worse with lying and so forth. The cheating part of it, I mean, I guess if he had come out and admitted it, it's like with any athlete, Pete Rose. I don't know if we can put him in the same category, rise to the top and then down you go. But, I mean, if Pete Rose had admitted, he'd probably be in the Hall of Fame by now about his gambling. But I was thinking about this, like an athlete to reach the top of his game through adversity and then to fall from grace. So I'm not going to say suddenly. I think it was more of a gradual thing. It just kept building and building with these lawsuits and the government coming after him and the money that was wasted on this thing when just about everybody knew what the final result was going to be anyway. I was trying to think of athletes that have risen to the top through adversity like that and then fallen. Because for a while, he was a hero. I mean, everybody really liked him. Now, again, watching this thing, I was trying to find some semblance to reach out and say, yeah, I couldn't. There was nothing likable about this guy during the documentary.
Yeah, and if you guys remember with Lance, was that he was accused of doping for years, even while he was competing. Like, the French media was after him because they were just convinced, and I think a lot of us, and me included, were like, hey, back off, he's our guy. Because we wanted to believe so bad that he was just a dominant performer. So not only did he lie and dope, but he continued to lie and dope even as the investigations went on. So we're starting to talk a little bit about athletes fall from grace, some of the worst falls in the history of sports. And so obviously you put Lance up there. Do you have any others that come to mind?
I just thought of this. Do we put Pete Rose? Is he fair game for the gambling and not admitting and extending this for as long as he has and then finally admitting so he could get money from a book he wrote?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Couple that I – Aaron Hernandez, although I don't think anytime we do a list, Aaron Hernandez is
right at the top. Yep.
But I don't know he had the same celebrity status, but he was certainly a celebrity.
Yeah, he was, but I agree with you. He didn't reach the heights of his sport
I got a good one for you. Speaking of Oscar Pistorius, Blade Runner. I mean, there's a guy. Shocking development.
Where'd you come up
there.
With this? That's good. How'd you do that?
What about Mike Vick?
No, because I think there's, I somehow, some way, I think Mike Vick has rebounded.
At the time.
Yeah, but he hadn't reached to me the ultimate heights of his sport. He hadn't won a Super Bowl, but he was climbing. And then, of course, this broke. But I never found him despicable as a person.
What
he did was despicable. But there was some, I don't know, he wasn't, you could say that because of what happened. And obviously he became very, very unpopular because of, but he's rebounded. I don't know if Lance Armstrong has rebounded.
Let's go to the phone. Shane joins us here on WNSP. Hey, Shane.
What's happening, guys? I got two real quick. It ain't kind of like what you guys are talking about, but one is, how about Jamarcus Russell, this local guy making it and then just couldn't handle it? And then the other one that's still in the news is Ryan Leaf.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, Ryan, I saw that the other day.
Thanks, Shane. Good to hear from you.
I think Ryan Leaf more than Jamarcus. I don't think, you know, we're not just talking about their play on it. We're talking about other things, other elements, drugs, gambling, falling from grace. You know, Jamarcus certainly had a very good college career, but he never made it to the heights in the NFL. Correct, Mark? I mean, he really, you know, we were rooting for him, but he didn't make it. And I wouldn't put Jamarcus there. But Ryan Leaf, again, here's the deal, though. If we're talking about an athlete who ascended to the top of his game. Ryan Leaf never did do that, but he certainly fell from where he was.
Man, it wasn't that long ago he was sitting in the studio with
us. That's right. Yeah, he was here for 2 days.
Okay, so I got two more for you. A couple more, actually. Marion Jones, former Olympian. She won all sorts of medals, gave them all back. Floyd Landis was a guy that we rarely talk about because we're always talking about Lance Armstrong. But there's another cyclist that doped, said he didn't dope, finally admitted he doped. And then he was the one that said everybody's doing it. He was kind of like the Jose Canseco of cycling for a while. Then he was like, yeah, everybody's doing it.
Hey, not speaking that it of that, better. Now you just opened up another thing. What about Barry Bonds?
Yeah.
Would he, or even Mark McGuire?
Yeah, someone said Tanya Harding. She made my list. Someone said Dennis Rodman. I'm not sure if Dennis...
No, I don't put him in that category at all. I
think Dennis was just more eccentric.
Yeah. He was. Yeah.
Someone said Hugh Freeze. I don't know if his fall from grace... And I hate to say this because this is more of a commentary on the state of society today. I'm not sure his fall from grace is any different than... hundreds of other coaches.
Right.
Someone said Johnny Manziel. I don't know. I just think he was a guy that just didn't get it. Here's one. What about Joe Paterno?
Well, that's interesting, Mark, because you could look at that from two different ways. There are many who will say that this was more Sandusky, not Paterno. But because Sandusky was on Paterno, there are others out there who was really trying to, you know, push this on Paterno because they felt he should have done more. I'm not going to put him in that category, that reaching the heights and fall from grace, and blame him totally for Sandusky, because there are a lot of other people that were involved in this also. It's just because he was a Hall of Fame coach.
All right, we'll continue this throughout the course of the day.
And again, understand what I'm saying. When I said Lance Armstrong, we're talking about somebody who conquered something, cancer. The people that have been named, as far as I know, haven't come up